tonight is the Earthside Cremaris Lissa's mother and Buddy Stern's grandfather and Claire Haramadi's father. We hope all their neshamot should have a Leah. Before we dub it. Oh, okay. And Lynn Palmer's father. Okay. Before we dive in, Myri, we're very pleased to have Rabbi Tarragon from Yeshivat Har Etzion.
Thank you. How much have I Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. We find ourselves at the perch between Shmos and Yisro Mishpatim, and Yisro presents the imagery of Har Sinai, but there is a repeat of Har Sinai at the end of Mishpatim. And yet the imagery in Yisro is very dichotomous with the imagery in Mishpatim. The imagery of Yisro, a lot of smoke, a lot of fire, a lot of distance, and a lot of fear. The Har Sinai Ashan Kulo, so the mountain is billowing with smoke. And before the event begins, Moshe is repeatedly warned to distance everyone. Hagbel asahar, make a boundary. L'kidashto. And just in case that weren't enough, it becomes very aggressive, very frightening. Sako yisakel, yaro yare, and behema imish lo yichya, imsho chayavel. You can't even touch the mountain. And if you do, the first encounter with Hashem is sako yisakel. Very aggressive. And as the day begins, there's a lot of distance and fear. Vayecharad kol ha'am asher b'machaneh. Everyone's frightened. L'fi p'sukim later, vayecharad ahar me'od. The mountain is frightened. The mountain is shaking. And then we read about, after Har Sinai, after the experience concludes, vayar ha'am vayanu, vayandu me'erchok. They move backwards. The imagery of Mishpatim is almost antithetical. Instead of it being a distancing of people, there's an entire entourage that walks up the mountain, and it's Moshe, and Aaron, and Nadav, and Avihu, and Shivim Ziknei Yisrael. There are monuments, there are sacrifices, there's a bilateral bris. Moshe Rabbeinu takes blood, sprinkles someone who's Mizbeach, someone the people. And then, amidst all of this access and proximity, there's drinking and eating, Vayachlu Vayishu. There are psukim that it's hard to interpret them without being heretical. But see Hashem, it's such an anathema to Jewish monotheism. To see Hashem, Pesachas Raglav Timasa Livna Sasapir, Chesem Shemayim Matoar, blue sapphire, the white heaven, things that we really don't peer into much. Vayachlu Vayishtu. These are two representations of Har Sinai. According to Rashi, they're actually coexistent. They happen at the same time, and they're providing different slants. According to the Ramban, this is actually after Har Sinai. But either way, despite the chronology, the Torah wants us to see Har Sinai from two different vantage points. One of distance, fear, fire, and smoke. One of access, clarity, lucidity, proximity. Because these are two representations or embodiments of the two interfaces we create with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One interface is Avas Hashem. One interface is Yiras Hashem. Sometimes we call it Yiras Shamayim. Ava doesn't mean love per se, it means understanding. You love Hashem when you understand the synchronicity between His will and our will. When you understand Hashem's Ratzon, you realize that it ennobles life, it enhances life, you love Him. So when there's clarity, either clarity about religion, why it enhances our life, or clarity about history, you understand Hashem's role in history, then we can love. You love as you grow and mature, the objects of your love aren't physical, food, excitement. The objects are people that change your life, that improve your life, ideas that change your life. And Yira doesn't mean fear and quaking and trembling. Yira means unfathomability, unknowability. You stand in front of the mystery of Hashem, you can't understand Him, and you just submit to the higher authority, even when you can't understand Him. So Yisro is presenting Yira Shemayim as the interface between ourselves and the Kodesh Baruch Hu established at Har Sinai. And Mishpatim is profiling Ahavas Hashem, closeness and clarity and seeing and vision and understanding, even in a metaphorical sense. And throughout our lives, we're expected to calibrate these two pistons. We're expected to rotate them. There's the mitzvah of Ava, there's the mitzvah of Yira. There are moments of Ava, there are moments of Yira. There's a great debate amongst the Rishonim developmentally, what leads to what. We would assume if you follow the chronology of Yisro, Yira Shemayim precedes Ava Hashem. And certainly it resonates within ourselves that first you accept faith unquestioned, and then you try to understand. Faith elaborates what, or reasoning can elaborate what faith has already established firmly. The Rambam's description in Yisro the Atar is a little bit different. You look at Hashem's majesty, His beauty, and by seeing the beauty of Hashem, you then realize how little you know. So that you're humbled by the majesty and the sweep. Similar to Davar HaMelech in Tehillim Perakas, Ki Erev Shanecha, Maseh Yitzchor Tzarecha, Yerecha Kachad V'Shakaranta, Ma'ana Shkitis Me'o. When I stand in the sweep of history and the universe, I feel humble. But the rotation between Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem isn't just different points in our life, it's also different periods of history. There are periods of Avas Hashem, there are periods of Yiras Hashem. Walking out of Auschwitz is not a moment of Avas Hashem. Walking out of Auschwitz is a moment of not understanding Hashem, not understanding, quite frankly, his decisions, not understanding the darkness of that world, and still maintaining your faith. And then there are periods of Avas Hashem. Anyone here who lived through the Six-Day War, I did, but as an infant, anyone lived through the Six-Day War, and you can imagine seeing the world clearly through the historical clarity of the Six-Day War. The last 3 months have been a period of Yiras Hashem. There are dark clouds above our people. It's hard to understand why things happen. It's hard to understand how this could happen now then. No one saw it coming, and quite frankly, no one has answers to that. And when you operate under those dark clouds, or the smoke of Har Sinai, you emphasize Yiras Shamayim more than Avas Hashem. You're expected to respond to historical moments based on these two interfaces, by accenting one or de-accenting the other. So under the last 3-4 months, a lot of people ask me, like, what can we do? What can I do? And obviously there's so much to do at a national level, and the volunteering and the trips, but you also have to personalize the experience. If you're living through 2024 and you're living through these dark clouds, you have to pivot and calibrate the way you behave as a person, not just the way we behave as a community. It's not just how many duffel bags, how many trips, it's also you're not Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're facing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do you respond to those dark clouds? And I just want to share this one pasuk that's been ricocheting in my mind the last couple of weeks about my own calibration. I mean, there's so many psukim that we're thinking about. I'm sure we're saying Tehillim, and Amru lechu v'nachidei migoy, v'lo yizachar she'en yisrael alone. If you say Tehillim pegim, or not the conspiracy to wipe us off the map. And you could just open any random pasuk in Eicha. It sounds like it was written yesterday. And these are all the psukim that are in everyone's mind. You should have psukim in your mind. There should be a couple of psukim that you constantly say to yourself, because you should stream your experience through our Nevi'im, through Tanakh. This is a pasuk that's been powerful to me. It's a pasuk in Koheles. It's the beginning of Perakei. I'm just reading the end of the pasuk. Elokim b'shamayim v'ata al ha'aretz, al kein yudvaracha matin. Hashem is in the heavens, you're on the earth, there's a hierarchy, there's a distance. Just don't speak so much. Don't have so much confidence. Yudvaracha matin. Just ratchet down a little, calm it down a little, calm yourself down a little bit. This period, it feels that shamayim is even further than aretz than it normally is. Normally, shamayim and aretz meet, and we scale Shemayim because we understand Hashem. But the last 3 months, I feel like Shemayim is even further. I feel closer to Hashem than I did in the past, but through the lens of mystery, not through the lens of understanding. I feel His presence, but I don't understand His presence. And that's also a feeling. I don't understand it, but I feel He's part of my life. And to me, it just means that we all have to act. Forget, not the collective, not the national, not the broad. On a personal level, just Alkein yinod v'recha ma'atim. Just a little more tznius, a little less. When I say tznius, I don't mean clothing. I mean just deportment. A little less confidence, a little less swagger, a little less self-promotion, self-expression, a little less I know it all, especially the way we talk about Eretz Yisrael. We're reminded we don't understand everything. We don't understand everything about the state of Israel. We don't understand anything about anti-Semitism. So when we talk about these issues, just with a little bit more recognition that maybe, use the word perhaps, it could be, rather than the confidence that perhaps the first 75 years, that glorious run provided, Hashem is asking us just to recalibrate ourselves and just to be a little less confident in our day-to-day activity rather than, because we are operating under the clouds of Yisro, not necessarily under the blue sapphire in Shvatim. Hopefully the blue sapphire will return, but until it returns, you have to pivot when these different conditions apply. Hashem, let's hope for the glory to return.
Do you have a relative who was active at Yeshivat HaKotel?
That's my younger brother.
That's my son's name.
What's your son's name?